Hello, I'm Pete Cann, laughter leader, positive thinker, and entrepreneur. And you're listening to Laughter and Positivity with Pete, where each week I'll bring you tips and tricks to lead a happier, more positive life. Ready? Let's go. Hey guys, welcome to this week's Laughter and Positivity with Pete. And today I am joined by the lovely Dr. Lynn Perro.
Hello. So good to be here.
How are we doing? So Lynn, let me finish what you've written. You've written a little intro, so I need to read that out as well. Okay. So she's a founder of Laughter Business Academy, leadership consultant, social entrepreneur, energy mover, luxury brander, activator of purpose, superpowers, abundance, and prosperity, certified laughter yoga leader and teacher, headquartered in Windsor, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah. It's very cold today, actually.
How cold's cold?
Well, I work in Celsius. I'm not sure what it would be in Fahrenheit, but it's about minus 10 today, Celsius.
I work in Celsius as well, so I know that is
okay.
That
is, it is blooming unusually cold for Windsor, because Windsor's the most southern city in Canada.
Yeah.
And we typically have very mild winters. Today is very unusual.
Well, do you know what? I've just literally got off the phone, or I was doing a Laughter Live with somebody in Whistler, and they had a meter of snow last week, she said, and they're due another crazy amount of snow. I'm just like,
how amazing is that?
She said it is amazing if you want to go skiing, but if you want to get off your driveway, not so good.
Just ski out, or take your snowshoes and snowshoe out. That's the Canadian way.
Yeah, nice. So Canada is on my wish list, actually. I've traveled quite a bit, but Canada has never, it's on the list. It's on the list of things to do. So, but anyway, we weren't talking about my traveling and being. It's all about you today, Lynn. So Dr. Lynn. So tell me a little bit about Dr. Lynn then.
Oh, Dr. Lynn. Yes, I thought that school would release me from all stresses of life and that it would make me comfortably secure financially. And I put myself through school. I'm the only person in my family who has university level education. And once I graduated, I had a lot of trouble finding work because the excuse people were using was that I was overeducated. After about 5 years of being declined, I'm not going to use the word rejection, but after being declined for many excellent employment opportunities, I decided to start my own thing with laughter yoga. And I did. And that's when it coincided with me stumbling upon laughter yoga. My background is in improv comedy, and I used it throughout my education to make extra money to support me. And so you used to do improv comedy to laughter yoga.
So you used to do improv, used to get paid for improv comedy?
Yes. I had a troupe. Well, it wasn't mine, but I worked within a troupe. Yeah. We had fun. See, in French Canadian culture, and I'm from Northern Ontario, which is very francophone, we do improv comedy in elementary school, and we start doing competitions in a little hockey rink. Like, it's a fake one, but it looks like a hockey rink in the school gym, and you have two teams, and often other schools will come and they will compete against your school, and we play games, and whoever is the funniest person, the audience decides. They have one red cardboard, one blue cardboard, for example, if one team is red, one team is blue, and they all vote. So whoever has the most popular vote ends up winning the match.
Wow. And that's at what age was that? Sorry.
Oh, this would have started in grade 7-8.
Okay. So, and it's part of the curriculum?
It is part of the after school. Well, you know what? I guess it could be. It's part of the culture. It's nothing to do even with the schooling. It just has to do with the culture. And it was integrated for after class activities. You know how there's some theater groups that evolve in elementary school or later elementary school into high school? Well, this is what the improv comedy was. It's the equivalent to that.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing. I've just got this crazy vision of everybody in Windsor just walking around as mime, but that's obviously not improv at all, is it?
Just like, actually, I'm not even from Windsor. You have an excellent mime ball, by the way.
That was really bad.
I really am horrible at miming, and I'm horrible at jokes too, which is why I had to turn to improv comedy. I had no choice. I'm an epic failure at stand-up. I can't tell a jerk joke for the life of me, not even a knock-knock joke. So,
but improv is spontaneous, though, isn't it? You've got to be on, you've got to be switched on to be able to just walk into any situation and turn it around and yeah, no, it's good. So, okay, talk to me about, because obviously the people that are listening are, very keen to hear about laughter yoga and, you know, how you discovered it is probably the good start. And when, how long ago was this?
Yeah, this is my favorite story. So I was doing improv comedy and I was teaching, because my background is in psychology, I was teaching psychology courses and I had these huge theaters full of students. And I would try to do some performance bits or teach them how to do the basics of improv comedy so they could learn the benefits of laughter and get it. I could use that as an activity to energize them and start teaching all the benefits of laughter. But there was a lot of performance anxiety. People felt that they might fail. And of course, in improv comedy, failure is the ultimate funny. So it still didn't land very well for me. And also because it relied so much on mood or state of mind or culture, because I had many students who were from other countries outside of North America, outside of Europe, they were struggling with this whole concept and it just wasn't funny for them. And I was always in search of something that could have people laughing without judgment, without the mind being involved. And in 2007, I was presenting at a women's retreat and Lynn Himmelman in Canada was presenting laughter yoga there. I attended and fell in love immediately because that was my solution. Laughter yoga does not rely on your mood, on your state of emotion, on your how your day is going. It simply engages the body to release all of the endorphins and biochemicals and hormones that you need in order to trick the mind to thinking it's laughing, even using muscle memory in the feeling of the diaphragm moving. Once we feel our diaphragm moving as though it's in laughter, we trick our body into feeling as though it truly is, and then giggles start happening.
Amazing, amazing. So how did you feel that first time you did it?
It was very strange and uncomfortable. And in fact, I still, when I'm doing classes or sessions with other laughter yoga participants, let's say I'm leading a session in a corporate setting, I'm very mindful of how they are probably feeling because I'll never forget how strangely I felt. And I had at least a background in improv comedy, so I wasn't afraid to make a fool of myself, but it can be very intimidating, especially if it's presented in a laughter club, for example, where it's more meant to be social and people already know each other. Mm-hmm. I feel that it can be very intimidating. So I'm very mindful of that when I lead sessions of my own. And everyone has their own style of leading a laughter yoga session, which is what I love most. Not a single person will ever run a session with the same vibe ever. And yeah. I love that.
That's the one thing that I realized quite quick. Wow. It took me a while, actually, if I'm honest, because the first session I ever did, the guy who ran it, it was very, to be fair, mimic the way he does a lot of the stuff. His energy is quite high energy, got everybody moving, lots of movement, lots of, you know, a bit sort of comedic as well in his way. Then the next session I ever went to was definitely more spiritual, more movement, more flow. And I was just like, whoa, wait, now, where's the funny bit? Where's the comedy side of it? Which, like, you know, obviously, yeah, is comedy the right word? Theatrical way, I think, is probably what I'm thinking.
It's so different to experience. It's truly an experience. Mm. So one experience, even with the same person on another day, may also feel different. My approach tends to be much calmer, unaggressive, and very conscious of the fact that these are professionals who have to come back to work together the next day. And understanding that we do have a hierarchy in most workplaces where the boss really may not want to be seen out of control laughing.
Oh, Lynn, I'm the opposite. I love making the boss feel a little bit like, come on, get down with them. But that's, again, you know, we've got different ways, but you can tell the boss for sure. You can tell the boss in a room when you're in there, because everyone's sort of like looking at them a little bit. What are they going to do? But actually, is it okay?
But letting them choose how involved they want to be, right? Yeah. So I'll always allow them to choose how much they want to be involved. And of course, I absolutely love it when the room starts to get silly and giddy, because I will follow along. So I'm not saying that I will keep things very tame. What I'm saying is I will follow the lead of the group. If I see them wanting more, I will absolutely step it up.
Those are
the funnest sessions ever.
So can you remember the first sort of big corporate work, like, or, you know, big job that you did where, well, actually, no, let's rewind again. Sorry, Lynn. So you discovered it in 2007, you said. How long did it take then to go from discovering it to then becoming a leader and learning?
Oh, I was a leader within months, right? In less than a year. I had some trouble finding someone to get me certified. I did find somebody I had to travel a few hours to get to this certification. It was an excellent experience. I was actually the only student. And I started offering laughter sessions more in the style of a club. Mm-hmm. And then once I noticed, and remember, I had already been graduated for a couple of years, and I had always wanted to begin my own consulting freelancing, I guess you could say. It's not really a consulting firm. It's because it's only me. And by 2010, I went ahead as soon as I found out that Madan Kataria would be in Chicago. I went ahead and flew out there and got my teacher certification from him. Yeah. I saw that as an opportunity to move forward with working for myself. And then as I was working for myself, I was certifying other leaders, other laughter yoga leaders, and they started asking me a lot of questions because my background, my education is in business psychology, community and health psychology, as well as positive psychology. And I use those in combination. And what my leaders wanted was business advice. Mm-hmm. And I ended up having to extend my leader certifications by one day to give them all the business advice. And eventually it turned into its own thing, which eventually evolved into Laughter Business Academy.
Amazing.
Where I'm teaching people how to monetize their skills, whatever level they're at, it is monetizable in a way that makes them feel good. And most people don't come to me to become rich. They come to me because they would like to share more, be more efficient, have more time with their loved ones, maybe gift their income, their laughter yoga income, to their children in order for them to go to university, or to their grandkids in order for them to get a car.
Yeah. It's interesting because it's a bit of a subject that is about valuing the skill of being able to run a laughter session. Cause ultimately, I suppose where it's come from, India, and it was all about free clubs. It's all about, you know, again, the corporate's a different world, but it's all about free. So actually, and especially in the UK, I found this as soon as I stepped into this world, I was like, you've got to value yourself. You know, you're not worth $20-$30, you're worth $200, because what you're doing is providing the service to make people feel good about themselves. And that was sort of, that's definitely a stumbling block I find with a lot of leaders. And I don't know if you find that with the people that sort of come to you having that, like, I don't know what to charge, but should I charge? And, you know, how do you overcome that?
Yeah, Pete, I love that you have brought this up. I do get a lot of messages, sometimes from master trainers that are not aligned with making a living from doing laughter yoga. And I absolutely respect that. That is everyone's individual choice. What's happening economically worldwide right now is a shortage of living wage jobs that are consistent. And in my case, the reason why I monetized every skill that I had was because I had to support myself, and I have a child. I'm a single mom. Mm-hmm. And I had to not just survive, but I wanted to enjoy what I was doing. And there are simply no job opportunities that give us a living wage. And this is why Laughter Business Academy evolved, because it is a profit sharing model, so that as people want to start out monetizing their skills, or when they want to start freelancing, their laughter yoga skills mixed in with whatever other professional skills they have, they can make money while they are doing that. The only way for them to make money is not from going out and possibly failing at first. They have this cushion of the academy that can help fund their efforts and fund their business experiments as they figure out what will work for them and what won't. Because we all know that entrepreneurship involves failure, mm-hmm. and how you deal with that failure will create success for you, or not. Or not. But the point is to be consistent and to keep going. And if you don't have a support system to fall back on, or a financial support system to fall back on, then of course you have no choice. You have to go back to a job that you hate, or that doesn't pay you enough, or go back to having three jobs, which often I had, you know, three, four jobs.
It's interesting you mentioned, excuse me, entrepreneurship, because I don't know if you know much about my background. I run my own business as well. So I run a hospitality agency. So, and I've done that for 13 years. So actually I've created, you know, quite, it was pre-COVID, it was doing all right. And then, but, you know, so COVID came along and sort of forced me mentally to start laughing more. But also I was just like, wait there, because I spent a year pre-COVID going, I can do that over there, and obviously that pay, don't get me wrong, that pays our world, that pays for the mortgage, that pays for a lot of stuff. So I've been very fortunate that, you know, I've got the infrastructure around me, so therefore the laughter was really a side hustle, so to speak. But what's happened, because I was forced into this position and being an entrepreneur, because you're right, Pete, you know, you fail, of course you do, but you've got to stand up, you've got to brush yourself off and just keep going, because actually if you don't keep going, then, you know, it's there are no other options apart from going and work for the man or lady again. And that's not, you know, what we're doing. So, but it's, you know, it's taken me, 18 months into this now, and you know, it's this today I just landed a very nice job, basically, which is going to pay for a month for me.
Oh, how exciting.
Which is exciting. And it's just like, you know, and I'm not saying that to sort of, I suppose, brag, because it's not, it's about just saying, well, actually, if you just keep at it and you
this is to focusing, be celebrated, it is not bragging. These are celebrations, because you know what's happening is that laughter yoga is now reaching audiences that it typically would not reach. These are individuals who typically would never go out on their own to initiate contact with laughter yoga. Mm-hmm. So, or any sort of speaking engagement, just the fact that you are going out and doing some sort of contract and you have the skill base that you have, of course, they're going to research you. Mm-hmm. They're going to see what it is that you do. So even they will indirectly become informed about laughter yoga, where they normally would not. Think it's all an advantage. And the whole point of laughter yoga really is to increase wellness and well-being in a world where people are you know, endemically depressed and anxious and not feeling very well overall.
It is. And it's,
Hi, it's Pete here, and I hope you're enjoying the show. I have a little favor to ask. If you are enjoying this episode, then why not press that share button and help spread the power of laughter with your network? Anyway, on with the episode.
I mean, so if I can just rewind slightly back to you becoming a teacher in Chicago, which was back in 2000 and...
This would have been 2010.
Okay, so three April. Years on. Yeah.
Awesome month. Awesome week. Awesome.
So you've obviously run lots of sessions over the past, I mean, that's 22, well, not 22, that's 12 years. So that's quite a long time. But I always like to ask yogis, it's just like, you know, what, there must be a couple of specific moments where someone's come up to you and they've said something to you that's made you go, wow, that's really, you know, profound what they've said, and it, or just touches you to the core of what they said. And I'd love for you to share those stories if possible.
Yeah, I think for the most common response that I get, that I do love hearing, the one that repeats the most is, wow, I can do this as an exercise when I'm feeling anxious, depressed, in the middle of the deepest grief of loss of, there have been many deaths over the last couple of years, COVID related, for instance. And this has helped people to cope through. They've been permitting themselves more to take a break from the grief and using laughter yoga as a tool to help them through the grief. So they're able to hold both at the same time. They're able to hold a moment of joy, just a moment, and also hold the grief. And it helps them to move forward. And that, I think that's the most common response that I get, that I absolutely love, 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 love. Definitely. We don't know what's happening in people's personal lives when we're presenting a laughter session, or when we're going out and doing some public speaking. We do not know what they're really going through. And if this can help push them through or give them an alternative tool to use, I think that's the magic of laughter yoga, is you can hold two spaces, a deep, difficult space, but also a light and mirthful space, both at the same time.
Definitely. And so, you know, what would you say to anyone that's listening that maybe is just discovering bits about laughter yoga and going, I don't know, it just sounds a bit wacky, or a bit, you know, out there, or I don't feel comfortable laughing. I don't, you know, what would you say to them?
Well, I love that question. I would say, find your own groove, find your own style, find your sweet spot. So do this in a way that makes you feel comfortable. If it's lower energy, do lower energy. Choose exercises that work for you. Who's the audience that will best suit you? If you're looking to make money from this, then know that you don't have to be doing this the way everybody else does. Find your own way. And you will, of course, attract similar others. Mm-hmm. Nice. Just do it. Be you, please.
Be you. Be genuine.
Don't try to imitate somebody else, because it'll seem inauthentic. Yeah. You know, there'll be something off.
And it's interesting as well, because, you know, I suppose I've sort of spoke about it briefly at the beginning, how, you know, the person that I've trained with, you know, but discovered was a different energy level to the next person. And it wasn't until I did the laughter phone and I passed the giggle phone around the world. I don't know if you were part of this or you knew about this in 2020, that I all of a sudden realized that there was a massive community of laughter yogis that I was just like, because in the UK, it was just this little pocket that I thought sort of belonged to. And then all of a sudden just opened up. And, you know, I mean, how are you finding, I suppose, the Zoom, you know, Zoom laughter for a start, bringing laughter by Zoom, but also sort of how's your reach changed since the pandemic?
Oh, yeah. Well, I got to tell you, my very first Zoom laughter session with a corporate entity was, it was a nerve-wracking one. I did not know if this would work online, because energetically, when you're in person, or when I'm in person, I can judge the room. Like I can assess the room and I can figure out what shall I go? Because I rarely ever prepare ahead of time. I'll have an outline and an idea of what I believe they will need. Sometimes I show up and I have to pitch that little cue card out the window because I'm walking into something I did not expect. And that's basically what my first online Zoom session was. It worked marvelously. It worked absolutely amazing. So I'm very glad for that. There was very little I needed to adjust. Very little. I just had to give a little bit more instruction with my words. I wasn't able to do silent. Most of the time my laughter sessions are mostly silent. There's very little word. I work a lot with, in this city here in Windsor, we have a lot of new Canadians, a lot of immigrants, a lot of people who don't yet speak English. So I've learned to do sessions with minimal speaking. But these Zoom sessions worked well for me.
Yeah, amazing. And it's I've done a few of these, but yesterday was my first big one where I had like 40 people on the other side of the screen and it was just me in my room. And I just found it really bizarre because I was just like, because you can't hear anyone because there's so much going on. So you've just really got to judge the body language. That's the one thing that I picked up on yesterday. I was like, right, are they laughing? And then obviously there was that and lots of all this. So I was just like, I think it's working. I don't know. I'm in my office here doing this. So
Pete, what's really neat too about Zoom is that you can use the screen as a play tool. Mm-hmm. So you can do laughter exercises that involve going off screen and just sort of peeking in, right? So you can do shy laughter using the screen. you can do peekaboo laughter literally using the screen. But one thing that is absolutely essential when doing a Zoom session of laughter yoga is the people need to see each other.
Yeah.
Of course, as the facilitator, you need to see the group as well, but their videos must be on.
Yeah. And I've done a few where literally it was to blank screens and I was just like, oh, this is going to be a tricky one. And mic's off as well. I'm just like, come on, give me something to work with here. It's it's interesting. So, but that's ultimately, I suppose, how you prove how professional you are because you adjust to it. And, you know, they're not your favorite sessions. Definitely not, you know, personally, and I'm sure it's the same with you. In person won't be anything else. That's just the energy in a room is just it's electric, isn't it? So have you done many like stage, you mentioned stage work?
Actually, I don't know that I've done any stage work for laughter yoga specifically. My presentations are usually on the floor with the people, no matter how large the group. Your stage question had to do with laughter yoga.
Yeah, I think or big audiences, like auditorium size audiences, sort of just working out, you know, like sort of hundreds of people rather than sort of 20, 30s or whatever. So, but that's cool. I just noticed your cat's just joined the conversation.
Yes, he did. Welcome to my world. He will probably walk across the laptop at some point.
That's fine.
He just wants to say hi to you. That's really all it is. When I prefer to not be on a stage, if at all possible. So I have not yet had an auditorium experience. It's been more conferences where there was the choice to go up on the stage and I chose to stay on the floor. Mm-hmm. Without a podium, just with the mic and be among the people. And that's just for me. It's what I'm used to. I'm also a musician, a musical performer. And I've noticed that for me and my style, this is the method that works best. Obviously, if I was only doing a 10-minute session as an energizer at a conference and all the speakers were on a stage, I would absolutely work that. And I would be at the edge of the stage. I would not use a podium. I want to make sure there are no barriers between us. I may even sit on the edge of the stage with my legs hanging off so that there's more openness. But again, I don't do things my way just because
because I do them, you know. But that's the first thing I tell people when they want to monetize their skills. You know, please, let's find your own way. Let's find your way, because you know what? Your way is absolutely best. And then you tweak it and you adjust it. And if it fails, you're fine. You're still alive.
Yeah.
You tweak it next time. Keep going. This is an experiment.
I'm just calling. Are you? Did you just play with your microphone or was it the cat?
Is my microphone off?
No, it's on. It's on. Just so listen.
I think he was rubbing his paws like, on the laptop. Oh, my goodness.
I'll have to get his name. So when I write the show notes, obviously, I'll give him a mention. What's his name?
His name is Mitten, which in French, in English, means mittens.
Okay, fantastic. And he's just proven
white
that.
Hands, little white paws on his feet and hands.
Amazing. So Lynn, I always like to ask sort of what are your two favorite, you know, have you got two laughter exercises that you really
enjoy? I have go-tos. They work very well with everybody, and the reason why they work well with everybody and anybody, oh, here we go, he's making a little appearance, hello, there we go, cute little face, it's that even if people are holding grief or rage or whatever it is they're going through, or if they're at work and they're trying to hold a professional image, I find that Calcutta laughter works extremely, extremely well as an exercise. And I find that as a warm-up, the evil laughter works very well, or aloha, or the aloha. But I would like to... Am I doing these? May I demonstrate?
Yeah, sure.
Yes. All right. So we just put our two thumbs together, just gently. Like we'll just like click them together very gently. And we'll just say ha. And then we'll take our index finger. Yeah. All right. We're gonna let the cat cross the screen here. You know, these things can happen even in a paid session. These things can happen. Then we take our index finger out and we're going to touch our thumbs, ha, and then our index finger together, ha. Take out your middle fingers, and we're going to do them in sequence. Again, this will be three ha's. Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha, ha.
So our thumbs touch, index fingers touch, middle fingers touch, and next will be our ring fingers, and what we're going to do. Do these all in sequence again. So it'll be four ha's. One, two, three. Ha, 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 ha. And we're going to get all of our fingers involved next time. There will be five ha's. One, two, three. Ha, 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 ha. And now let's do this continue in continuity. Let's keep doing it over and over. One, two, three. Ha, 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 ha. Excellent. Hands forward, facing out towards the other person as if you're going to give a high five. And we say, ho, ho. And in French, ho means high. So there we go. Ho, ho. And then palms towards the ground. Ha,
ha, ha.
Ho, ho,
ho. Ha,
ha, ha. Ha. Front, ho. Front. Ha. Down. Ha. We say, ho,
ho,
ha, ha, ho, ho, ha. A little louder. Faster. And then we allow the group to get a grip on itself. And then we'll do, in the end, we'll do three rounds. When I'm working with people who are experiencing grief or anxiety, we will keep it quiet. I'll keep it as quiet as I can, and I'll have it go along quietly until I feel like it's energetically the moment is right to go louder and faster to initiate that laughter. And inevitably, I just used this yesterday with a client who was experiencing grief from a recent death in the family, and it worked marvelously. She was shocked. She's like, Lynn, how did you do this? It's the magic of the body. It's wonderful. Our bodies are wonderful machines.
Amazing. It's amazing. So yeah, they are amazing machines. And you know, it's ultimately, I'm just conscious now, can you hear the rain on the window?
I don't. Is it raining hard?
It is. It is, but that's fine. That's fine. And you can't hear the Hoover upstairs either, I take it.
I can't.
Just me then. Amazing. So hopefully the listeners can't hear it either. So so what other positive habits do you have, daily habits? Have you got any daily habits that go-to habits?
Go-to habits. You know what? I check in with myself a lot. I spend a lot of time in silence, in reflection, in to keep myself grounded. I find that that's very, very important. The thing is, I have to take excellent care of myself energetically in order to be able to best serve the people who I work with. So in order for me to be great and on spot for doing my presentations or my speaking engagements, I feel that I need to be very centered, very grounded, and I need to be healing whatever's happening inside of me as well. Because this pandemic is no easier for laughter yoga professionals or improv comedy professionals or any laughter professional. It's no easier for them than it is for the regular population. Just because we practice laughter and we can engage people, large numbers of people in laughter, does not mean that we are immune. So
no, it's true.
The habit that I have that's most pivotal is to really take some time out every day for myself. And if I feel like I'm getting worked up or over tense or stressed about something, I stop. I stop everything, drop everything, and go to my space that I have in the house, which is just sitting in a spot in the living room. And I breathe. I just breathe and sit with it. I sit with that discomfort. I sit with that uncomfortable feeling and figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. So where can listeners find you?
Oh, that came out beautifully. That very clear in the end. They can go to www.laughterbusinessacademy.com, and that will give them access to a whole bunch of resources. It'll take them into the portal, into the community of laughter professionals who are looking to monetize their skills. There are some free speaking events there. There are there are courses and guides in there. A lot of them are for free, so there's a free area for anyone who wants to get started. And of course, I am available on Facebook at Laughter Business Academy as well, or that's a page, but there's also the community, this sort of the private community that we have, Laughter Business Academy community. And that's where I answer all questions. So any questions people have, they can just put them on there. Once they've joined, they can just make a post and then I will answer. Like I'm here to give some coaching and some advice and to share my experiences and to lift other laughter professionals so that they can make a living for economic reasons.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So final thought then, what three things bring you joy?
Three things bring me joy. There are way more than that. I have to bring them down. All right. Let me see. A nice warm cup of tea. A nice warm cup of tea. Oh, that's so delicious. Taking time with my two cats who are brothers from the same litter. They're very loving towards each other. They're often wrapped into each other, taking a nap. Then I like to just watching that brings up all the oxytocin I need to feel love. It's so adorable. And finally, well, laughing, my goodness, what's better than laughing? There's absolutely nothing better than laughing. Laughing in a difficult circumstance. That's the best.
Amazing, amazing. Well, Dr. Lynn, thank you so much for joining me. It's been great to get to know you a little bit more. And hopefully we will talk again in the future.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to chatting with you again sometime. So good to meet you, Pete.
Thank you so much for listening to Laughter and Positivity with Pete. To access today's show notes and exclusive content, please head over to petecan.com/podcast. Be sure to tune in next week for your next dose of laughter and positivity. Until then, remember, if Pete can, you can.